Lord, we just come before your throne, Lord, because you are holy. Lord, you have always been holy and you will always be holy, Lord. Lord, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we could have everlasting life, Lord. We praise you and we honor you, Lord, for that, Lord. Let us just be ignited by you, Lord. Let us, Lord, just flame up, Lord, because of what you have done to us and for us, Lord, that we would be holy. Lord, because you tell us in your word, Lord, that because I am holy, you are to be holy, Lord, that we are to be holy, Lord. We are to be like you, Lord. Just let us understand that in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, that we would grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we have Father's Day. I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was saying, I think Mother's Day ranks number three, you know, of holidays, all holidays. You know, mothers are well thought of. Probably above Christmas and Easter, there's mothers. So who do we have? We have Jesus, then we have mamas. Daddies are like number 20. So we look like, man, well, we get the short end of the stick on this, don't we? So we look at that like, man, what is there? And I heard a guy say, he said, well, Halloween is like number 13. And we don't even rank above Halloween. So, but we are not looking for recognition as dads. We are looking at giving recognition to the Father of all fathers, our Lord and Savior. Man, we need to worship Him, and we need to give the recognition to Him within our lives. And as I was thinking about this week, and this verse just keeps coming to my mind as I think about men, and you see it so often on a lot of men's ministries and all things, you know, to do with men, but it's iron sharpens iron. It's a, you know, a thing in our life where we know that iron, steel is hard, but what does it take to sharpen steel or iron, something else that is iron? And we need to make sure that we are in our lives, that we are helping to grow other men, that we are sharpening one another. You know, as we think about our responsibilities as fathers, you know, it's to lead our family, but it's also to help lead other men. Because God's Word tells us, I'm sorry, I might not make it through this, but as God's Word tells us that we are to lead the young men that are below us, that we are to show them what it looks like to be a godly man. We have a big responsibility as fathers, and we need to take that responsibility in our lives, you know, seriously, knowing that, you know, our children, our grandchildren, their children, you know, that they will be affected by what we do, of how we raise our families, you know. So we have a purpose in life. I noticed this quite a few years ago, and I think I was telling someone this the other day, but, you know, it was just something that I noticed by watching the sitcoms that our children watch. I'm not talking about the sitcoms that I watched, you know, the Andy Griffith Show and Leave It to Beaver and all them things growing up, but some of today's sitcoms, they make the father out to be the idiot of the family. And I will tell you that the father is to be the leader of our families. And our world is trying to destroy, just like in that video talked about, the devil knows where to go, or who to go after. He goes after the fathers. Because if you can break up the father, man, you can break up the home.
folks, and it's something that we can look at within our society today, and we can see what's going on. And some people want to deny it. They want to say, well, it's just our society that's around us and how things are. No, it's the decay of the family because the father is absent from the family. Whether we like it or not, it is the truth. And we can back that up with pure fact. Within our society today, we can look at the communities where there is so much problem, and it's the absence of the father in the home. And in saying that, that does not mean that the father lives outside of the home. Because you can be absent and still be there. Because we have responsibilities. And we need to become men. We need to become strong men. Men that will stand up for Christ, will stand up for their family, will stand up for their church. Now, folks, you've seen it probably in the last 30 years, the decline of men within our church. The spiritual leaders that God has set aside for our church are absent. Folks, men, we need to stand up. We need to be the men that God called us and appointed us to be as leaders. We need to do that. Our families, our church, they have to have that to survive. So men, do you want to stand up? Do you want to grow in love for God and love for your family, love for your church, love for your community? Our society tells us that, well, if you love God and if you're active in the church, you know, you're kind of a weak, you're kind of a soft man. I want you to tell that to some men that I know that are serving the Lord, that love Him, that love their family. They are nothing soft about them. It takes a real man to stand up for the Lord. It takes a soft man to do what the world tells them to do. Because they are just fitting in with society. They are just going with the flow of society. Stand up and be different than what this world tells you you're supposed to be. Be what God tells you. So there is purpose within the iron. And we've read this verse. They quoted this verse. But it's Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, let a man sharpen the countenance or sharpen his brother in Christ. Man, we are to sharpen one another. We are to lean on one another. We should have enough in us that I can go to my brother and say, brother, I see something's going in your life. Brother, I need you to get back into fellowship with Christ, and you do it in love. And your brother should be strong enough that he says, you're right. This right here is one of my brothers right here. Right here, one of my brothers I talk to all the time. We have them conversations. It's another one of my brothers right here. We have them conversations. You know that, hey, man, we need to get right in our fellowship with Christ. And I'm not saying that Brother Jacob or Jeff's doing anything wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But we all need encouragement within our lives that we can grow in that relationship with God. And we have other men standing beside us that help us, that keep us accountable. Because men, if we're not kept accountable, we're not going to do very well. Man, our minds go in different places. Our minds go in the place of, well, it's about me. You know, what can I do for me? And it's not, as a man, it's not what I can do for me. It's what I can do for the Lord. because He has called us to do that. We have a purpose for iron. It is to strengthen each other. Man, iron is there to help strengthen. And I got to watching these videos a couple years ago, and I've watched them. I don't watch them as much as I used to, but these forged in fire type videos. And what do they put to make iron sharper? You know, they put stronger iron inside of iron and they heat it. Oh, that's a sermon in itself. They heat it to a point that it fuses together and it makes it strong. And that's what we have to heat each other, folks. We have to put the heat to each other and hold each other accountable. We need to build resilience in faith. Man, our faith is something that we have that we can take with us wherever we go, and we need to grow it because it makes us strong men. Our faith. You look at some of men, and Brother Chuck was talking about it at men's breakfast yesterday morning, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, you know, the men of faith like Moses and Abraham, you know, and these men were strong men. These men were willing to step out for God because they had faith in God. And they put themselves in some situations because God told them to go there that was hard. You know, what did God tell Moses to do? He said, go to Pharaoh. He had been running from the Egyptians because he had killed one of them. And God told him to go back there and have him to release my people. Moses had to be strong in order to do this. Moses had to have great faith in God. And this faith comes with us having mistakes, us falling down and getting back up. Because guess what? Every person in this room has fell down. We all fall down quite often. But the problem is not the falling down. The problem is not getting back up. It's easy to fall down and lay there. Boy, but you know, the older I get, and they were kind of, I think it was Brother David over there was talking to me. He said, man, you all right? And you're kind of moving slow. And I said, well, I'm getting fat and old. You know, it's kind of hard to move around a little bit. And, you know, if I fall down, it's going to be hard to get up. But I'm going to muster enough strength that I'm going to get up. But in life, when the things of this world get you down, that mustering enough up to get up is not in ourselves, it's in Christ. And we rely upon Him, and it grows our faith whenever we see Him bring us through these hard times in our life. Because whenever times are hard, we have to rely upon Him, or I don't see how you can survive. I don't see how people survive without their church family. I don't need anyone. I can do it on my own. Man, I don't see how you do it on your own. Man, I need all the help I can get from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need that strength. I need that encouragement in my life that I may grow and I may get up again. So we need to build in our faith, and we need to encourage spiritual growth in one another. I think we men are too scared to tell a brother and talk to a brother about his spiritual health. Why are we too scared to talk to a brother about their spiritual health? Man, we'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about the Razorbacks. We don't want to talk about that today. But we'll talk about the Razorbacks, and we'll talk about all these different things in our life. But the most important thing, we say, I don't know if I could talk about that. And we need each other. In that video, it showed, you know, this one guy, he was struggling. He was going through some hard times, you know, in his life. And he had two brothers there sitting beside him that wanted to be there for him and help him
in that time. And that does not necessarily mean, you know, well, do you need some money, brother? No, man, prayer is more than anything you can ever have in this world. An encouragement from one another. Saying, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here to encourage you. And we need to encourage spiritual growth. And I heard something the other day, and it really hit me hard. Because we as pastors, sometimes we get caught up on numbers. I mean, that's a flaw. That's not a strength. That's a flaw. And the way he said it, he said, we need to worry more with the growth of the people than the number in the pew. We need to worry more about the growth of the people in Christ than the number in the pew. Folks, we, as God's people, we need to make sure that we are growing in Him. And that's what He tells us throughout, you know, in the New Testament especially, you know, that, you know, our churchy words, you know, justification, sanctification, you know, glorification, you know, we're in that sanctification part. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that sanctification part is the growing part. We need to grow. We don't need to stay stagnant. Have y'all ever been by a pond that's just there stagnant? Just, and you walk by it and it just, it's don't look good. It stinks. Fish just don't survive in there well. It's just a cesspool, stagnancy. But you put some life in there, you start moving that water around, you get some aeration within that, folks, and that pond will come to life. And things start changing. And that's what we need in our life, is we need some change. We need something added to it. We need some aeration within our life. And I believe men, that comes from one another, other men, that we need that. We need that for each other. We need to quit being afraid. Well, what will he think if I ask about his spiritual life? Man, you're doing him the biggest favor he'll ever have is if you ask him about his spiritual life, of what's going on, if he will grow in Christ today, tomorrow, the next day. What are you doing, men, to help encourage other men? We talk about it. We're good at that in the Baptist church. We're good at talking about stuff. Man, we're gonna make a program. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But guess where it always goes? Right in the trash. We don't never do it. But we're good at talking about it. You know what talk is? Who said it? Talk is cheap, but actions are what gives results, isn't it? So we need to stand up and we need to encourage one another. We need to grow with one another. We need to build resilience in our faith. And that's going to help us. Help us personally, but also help us as a church. And also help you as a family. If you want to grow your family, I will tell you, you don't have to go out and buy all the books on Amazon to do it, because you got the one that you need right here. You got it right here. Are there some good authors, Christian authors, that write good things on this? Yes. But this is where you go to. That's just added to. This is the book. And we need to encourage one another's on it, because not everyone is on the same level. And Brother Chuck said this yesterday, and I probably did, but just never thought of it this way, that
they had met this young lady, and she said, well, y'all are way up here. Y'all guys that were there yesterday, y'all must have seen it. Y'all are just way up here, Brother Chuck and Miss Alicia. Y'all are way up here, and I'm way down here. He goes, no, I'm just down there. I'm not up there. I'm further down the road. And what do? We turn around, we come back, we grab them, and we take them along with us. I love that illustration. Because there is none in here, nowhere, except Jesus Christ is the only one that's higher than anyone else. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. We are none that is better than another. We are here to help grow one another, encourage one another in love and in growth. Folks, that's what we need. We need to sharpen and be, you know, on this. We need to sharpen our character, refining our values and our morals. So how does that happen? It happens with God's Word and happens with conversations that we spend time together, that we help grow one another, that we are there to see a brother stumble, and we're there to lend them a hand to help them back up. But it's not just to help them back up and say, get back out there on the road, you'll do well. It's kind of like the analogy of, you know, don't just give a man a fish, teach him how to fish. Because if you just give a man a fish, he'll be hungry tomorrow, but if you teach him how to fish, he can survive. Isn't that the same way in our spiritual life? Don't just give it to them. Man, teach them about it, how it happened to you or how you grew in your life, because you may be further down the road, not higher, but further down the road than someone else. And this next one is, whew, we don't like it. We need to challenge. Go back one, Anna. We need to challenge each other to be better. We need to challenge each other to be better. Who likes to be challenged? We need to. We need to be challenged. That helps us grow. Because you know what happens to someone who's not challenged? What are they? They're stagnant. What happens to people that are stagnant or ponds that are stagnant? They start stinking, don't they? They look ugly, have that old green, mossy, mold, nasty looking stuff on top. We need to put some aeration in them. We need to put some life. So we need to challenge each other. And I'm not talking in challenge of, you know, judgment, because there's a difference, man. Whenever you go to someone in love for their betterment, because you see where they're going, man, and you are there ready to walk with them, is different than you just going up and tell someone, man, you're just messing up. You need to get your life right, and you walk on down the road. That's just judgment there. When you're there to help them up and lead them in a spiritual manner, then you're doing them some good. And guess who else you're doing some good? Yourself. Because whether we know it or not, that other person may be not as far down the road as we are, but they still have something to teach us. And we need to grow from that. We see this purpose of iron to strengthen each other and to sharpen our character. We need that. And we need to do that as men. We need the process of iron, you know, to engaging in honest conversation, speaking the truth in love. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Man, we are to grow in him, and we are to speak the truth in love. I kind of got ahead of myself there a while ago. I'm good at that. So we are here to speak in love and encourage one another, addressing weaknesses in our lives. Anyone in here have a weakness? Let me raise both my hands. We all have weaknesses. Other people have things that they are stronger at than what we are, folks. We need to surround our people with people that are stronger than us in areas. That is not a form of weakness on your part. That is a form of strength on your part, because you know your weaknesses and you get other people around you that can help you grow to make them stronger. That's what we need. We need to address our weaknesses constructively, because we all have them. But the biggest thing is, we got to recognize them. We have to recognize that we do have weaknesses in our life. I have weaknesses, a lot of them. And other people are a lot better at things than what I am. So what do I want to do? I want to surround myself with them people. So acknowledge that. And go find someone. Go find someone to help, you know, bring you, make you stronger in your faith. Embracing accountability. You know, holding each other responsible. Man, we don't like that. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one by a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted." So if you see a brother that is overtaken, you know, hold him up to a higher standard. You know, we as Christians should be held to a higher standard than lost people. We should hold each other accountable, because we have told the Lord, we have told everyone else that, hey, I am a Christian, I belong to Christ. We have different standards that we hold to than the outside world. Sometimes we want them to hold them standards. And a friend of mine from seminary, you know, that he preached a sermon at First Baptist Church, Everman, Texas, you know, whenever we were going there, entitled "Putting the Cart Before the Horse." Sometimes we like to put the cart before the horse. We want them to get right before they get saved. What we need them to get saved and then disciple them and let God work in their life. And they will get them right. But we said, well, you can't come into the church looking like that, acting like that, doing them things. You can't come into the church. We're putting the cart before the horse. Yes, they need to come in. And they need to hear Jesus Christ. They need to have other brothers or sisters in Christ come alongside them and encourage them. So we are embracing accountability, creating a culture of trust. And that's a big one, a culture of trust. When a brother tells you something, you're not to go out there and tell it to everyone on the road or in your Facebook post. That's a different sermon. Or wherever you are. Folks, some things need to be held tight to you, because if you lose their trust, you lost them. Brothers should be able to come to other brothers in Christ and tell them their struggles, and you help them through them struggles through God's word and through prayer. It's something that we need. Then we have, you know, the product of iron, and, you know, developing strong relationships. And we need this within our church, you know, fostering deep connections. We need to be connected to one another. God has created us for connections. Are we
Are we made in the image of God?
Are we?
I don't guess we are. Are we? We're made in the image of God. What does God have with us? He has a connection. So if we are made in the image of God, we should have connections with others. And we should grow in that. And this is, you know, men, I'm talking to men today, but women's ministry is just as important as men's ministry. Women need that too. But sometimes men need to talk to men. And women need to talk to women. Because the struggles are different. And we need someone that knows, you know, that may have been through this or may know, you know, that God, what God's Word says about some of these struggles that they're going through. And don't be ashamed of your struggles. Man, God already knows them. We said, well, I'll hide this and no one knows about it. God knows about it. God knows about what we're going through. We need to build these, develop these strong relationships with one another. You know, fostering deep connections and building a supportive community with each other. That's what we're here for. We're a family, aren't we? We're the family of God that gather and worship here. We're here for each other. And not just here, folks. We are a tight community. We live in the Bible Belt. Man, we live with churches on every corner of the street, it seems like. You know, and it's, you know, here, down the road, up the road, across the, you know, the woods. You know, there are churches everywhere. And there may be a brother in that church that you connect with and that you grow with. Man, but we as a church, we need to make sure that our men are taken care of. And in all doing that, what should happen? We should produce godly leaders within our churches. I've heard it said, this is years ago, that churches should produce their next pastor. They produce them. That whenever you step down, man, there is someone else ready to step up. Because you have built a strong relationship. You have built a strong community of men that are there to help one another to grow in the Lord, to grow in their faith, to grow in their spirituality, to grow in their relationship with one another, to grow with their relationship within a community. And all of these things are going to help us be a better country. And we need that right now. Bad. We need men to step up and be men. Equipping fathers to lead by example. We have a lot of people, they like to tell you what they want you to do, but they don't want to show you what they want you to do. Let's lead by example, men. Let's lead and guide our family. If we want to lead some other one, we have someone else that is struggling with their family, we're going to say, well, hey, I'm going to come beside you and I'm going to help you with this, and we ain't even leading our family. You ain't got no business trying to help them lead their family when you can't lead your own family. That's kind of saying, you know, that we need to get our own plank out of our own eye before we help someone else. Let's lead our family, be examples so we can go and be examples for someone else in their family. But God wants us to produce these godly leaders, inspiring the next generation to follow Christ. I don't know what the statistic is, but it is very high that when people leave high school,
that they go astray. Whose fault is that? Now we're meddling, ain't we? Whose fault is that? It's ours. I don't know if we sugarcoat it or if we just don't do the job that we're build connections and do the job that we're supposed to do. You know, we need to do a better job at that. We need to do a better job at discipleship within our churches. Fathers, bring your family to church. There are great examples, great research that is done on this. You know, Gallup poll and just a lot of different polls that say if you can win the father, you win the family. What did he just say, you know, on that video? He said, I caught it probably the third time that I watched it, whenever he said that, you know, if you win the chief, you win the tribe. Fathers, if you will lead out in your family will follow. Statistics are very high on that. You lead. You be the spiritual leader of your family. It is your job. And we don't give mamas, you know, a cut on this, but it's not the mama's responsibility to be the spiritual leader of the family. It's the dads. And that's hard for us to think about because mama's always taking our kids to church. Mama's always helped in church. Mama's always did this and done that within the church. And we look at the men and say, we'll let them do that. That's not what we're supposed to do. We are the ones who are supposed to be leading within our church. And not just standing back and saying that it's someone else's responsibility. So men, let's stand up. Let's stand up for Christ. Let's stand up for our church. Let's stand up for our children, this next generation. And it may not be your children. Folks, there are kids that come into church that are that do not have families that go to church. And we can take them kids underneath your wing and start helping lead them to Christ. Lead them to be the men to change a generation. Because you know what, all it takes is one generation. One generation can change everything, good or bad. So make the generation that you are in, make who you are, be the generation that changes the next for the good. That they love the Lord. That they are founded in Christ, that they are founded in what God's Word says and not what a textbook tells them in college or in high school. We need to make sure that God is first, men, in our life. We need each other. We are here to sharpen one another. Nemo almost got me one that had an axe on there, but I said, I can't do that to him today. Y'all gonna have to ask him about that. But we need each other. Are you willing to stand up and learn more about Christ? Stand up and be a person that desires to be discipled or desires to disciple someone else. God wants that. But you got to be present. You got to be available. You got to be useful for Christ in your life. That means if you have your life is so flooded with everything else that there's no room for Christ, you're not going to be able to disciple someone. You're going to have to empty of yourself to let Christ work in you. So this morning, guys, what are we going to do for Christ? What are we going to do for our families? What are we going to do for our church? church needs you. We get to work for Christ. That's a privilege. But God wants to do great things. And I've seen some great men's ministries that just flourish because they have a connection. They desire to be a part. We have to desire to be a part. And God will do great things. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord. Lord, and as our musicians come, Lord, you just know the hearts of men and women this morning, Lord. I just ask that you just convict them, Lord, that you would just draw them to you, that they may grow in you, Lord, that we would think about, you know, our growth and our life, Lord, not how many are here. Lord, I'm speaking to myself more than anyone. That you would save lost souls, Lord, that you would draw men and boys to grow up, Lord, and to have other men that are there to help them, to sharpen them as they're growing. Lord, I'm just going to let your Holy Spirit do the work in hearts of people today, Lord, because I can't talk anyone into doing anything. But your Holy Spirit can do great and mighty things. Just work today in Jesus' name. Amen.